The competition for research funding is driving some Australian scientists to crowdfunding. It can take up to a year for academics to find out if they've been successful in getting a government grant. It's highly competitive, and the success rate for the Australian Research Council is usually about 18%. But going cap in hand to the public via the internet isn't a sure thing either. Felicity Ogilvie reports from Hobart.
High in the gum trees on Tasmania's Bruny Island, critically endangered baby swift parrots are being fed by their mothers in nest boxes. The boxes are designed to make up for a lack of old trees that have the natural hollows where the parrots usually nest. It's all being paid for by a crowdfunding campaign run by Dr. Dayan Stajanovic, a postdoctoral fellow at the ANU.
By putting nest boxes on Bruny Island, we were able to supplement a natural shortage of tree hollows. The idea was that any parrot that wanted to breed on Bruny Island, by the provision of nest boxes, it would have the opportunity to breed. And that really, basically, by giving more nesting spaces, we were able to breed more birds, and that's got to be good for the population.
Dr. Stajanovic and his team of scientists have raised $350,000 from crowdfunding campaigns since 2015. Their biggest success has been the campaign for the endangered orange-bellied parrot, which raised $100,000.
A lot of the public just actually really, they like wildlife, for example, and they want to help, but they don't know how. And so what I think we've been able to figure out is that by creating projects where you can kind of give people a convenient packaged way of making a tangible contribution. So for instance, I give $40 and that buys a nest box that an endangered bird might live in. Something really kind of convenient and bite-sized like that. It's understandable and it allows people to exercise their desire to help in a really practical way.
You use Twitter a lot, tweeting to save birds.
Yeah.
How important has social media been for you?
Social media, I have to confess, I'm a total convert. I've actually discovered that it's by far and above the most helpful resource in terms of not only just getting the crowdfunding messages out there, for which it's really important, but just more generally, just having people knowing what's going on real time in your research and kind of creating that interest and basically creating a head of steam where people know what's happening. They know in real time, oh my God, the birds are dying, or oh my God, the weather's bad and this is going to be bad for the birds in this way, or oh, we need to change management and look at the actual effect in real time on Twitter. It makes like a really important connection, I think, between science, which can often be really abstract and quite removed from daily life, and it gives people like a window into our world.
As exciting as it is to get public support, the scientists also find crowdfunding exhausting and a distraction from their actual job of doing research. Ewan Ritchie is an associate professor in wildlife ecology and conservation at Deakin University. He studied crowdfunding and his results were published in the scientific journal Conservation Biology last year. Professor Ritchie says scientists are being forced to launch public appeals because of their limited ability to get research funding through government grants.
I think some people have an idea that if you work at a university or a research institution, that because it's your job to do research, that you'll be fully funded to do that research, and that's not the case. So most researchers have to then go out and find their own money. So hence why I use the analogy that it'd be like being a firefighter but not being given the fire truck and have to find that yourself.
But crowdfunding isn't always successful. In 2015, a German academic examined almost 600 crowdfunding projects around the world. The international study, published in the Journal of Cleaner Production, found people who asked for money for projects such as making films or education hit their targets. But environmental science largely missed out, with just 10% of these projects hitting their targets. One Australian crowdfunding project that is floundering is a bid to help save the handfish that CSIRO scientist Tim Lynch is trying to save from extinction.
Instead of swimming, they walk around on the bottom of the sea. So they can swim about as well as chickens can fly. So the red handfish, it's quite a brilliant colour, brilliant red colour. If you get onto your computer and go to handfish.org, you can see lots of pretty pictures of the red handfish.
The website he's talking about is home to the crowdfunding campaign that hopes to raise $2 million to fund a national recovery plan that has been approved by the state and federal governments. So far, the public has only given $2,500. It's disappointing for Tim Lynch, who's already missed out on science grants.
We've tried a few avenues for funding and trying to get those external funds in to do the work. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And yeah, it is frustrating when you do a lot of work to try to get a grant up and happening and it doesn't happen. But that's part and parcel of being a research scientist, unfortunately.
How do you feel the fact that the crowdfunding hasn't raised the money, that only $2,500 came from the public?
That was disappointing.
And it's also alarming. Tim Lynch estimates there are fewer than 1,000 spotted handfish left, and maybe fewer than 100 red handfish.
If we could find other locations, that would be great, because the quickest and easiest way to recover a population of animals is to find more of them. That's the easiest way.
So when we talk about the red handfish, can you tell me about this tip-off, and has it been found in the Derwent? Where is it that it's been found? Is it secret?
The new spot is secret. The old spot wasn't so secret. And they're both in the one bay, so that's Norfolk Bay. And that's the only places that we know them of. They used to be much more widespread, locally common. Shouldn't be a super rare species, but something's happened and they've contracted down to these two sites which are in one bay in southern Tasmania.
There has been some last minute help. The federal government has stepped in with $50,000 of funding that has been used to take some of the fish and eggs into captivity for a breeding program.
That report from Felicity Ogilvie.